Okay.
Just controlled chaos here in the studio with Patrick Dangerfield and Nat Fyfe, attached to his hip, actually. Patty D brought to you by Balfour's Bakery, available at your local deli or supermarket. Balfour's baking people happy since 1853. Patrick, how are you, mate?
Morning, guys. Thanks for having me. It's good
mate,
to be back.
Always great to have you in. Pat, amazing game on the weekend. There was a terrific photograph of you and Nat Fyfe talking to each other at the end of the game where you were having a bit of a smile and a laugh. What were you actually talking about?
I can't really remember too much of it, to be honest, Pembo. Look, I mean, you play for, you know, four quarters in a game like that that was so intense and such a physical encounter. And because we were, you know, opposed to each other for the majority of the game, you know, you have a chat after the game because that's what sport's about. The results finish, so you're no longer doing battle, I suppose. But Nat and myself played for Australia at the end of last season, so... you know, I'd spent a bit of time with him already and it was good to catch up, and it's just a shame we couldn't get the job done.
It was an amazing battle, though. I mean, it was the thing that really makes Aussie Rules the great game that it is, and obviously Phil Walsh made those comments afterwards about the way he likes to see footy played. And Ross Lyon, who's been criticised for putting the choke on in the past, you know, the two coaches deserve credit for the way they ran the game.
Yeah, look, it was a really exciting game. Fremantle have been playing outstanding footy all year and they've really upped their scoring power this season compared to previous seasons. So, you know, they are without doubt the best side in the competition at the moment. You know, it was a really exciting game though. I felt we really brought the heat early. We just weren't able to capitalise in front of goal at important stages, and that's probably where the game was won and lost.
Well, that was it, really. It was the kicking, wasn't it? I mean, yeah. there were a number of moments, and I think Mark said the other day there were 10 set shots and you kicked 2 goals, 8 from them.
Yeah, so, you know, you look at all these different pressure acts, you know, tackling, ground balls, contested possessions, but at the end of the day, the most important pressure act that you can put on the opposition is the scoreboard. So we weren't able to do that when we controlled the play at certain stages. So you're not going to control it for four quarters, obviously, and we certainly didn't do that. But when you do have the run of play, you have to capitalise in front of goal. And we just weren't able to do that, unfortunately.
Now, mate, obviously it was Indigenous Round, and I thought one of the best aspects of Indigenous Round was our star, our first quarter, the first 3 goals, Betts, Cameron, Ellis Yeoman, that goal from Betts. Like, we were talking last week about what a freak show it is with Eddie. He pegs goals like that all the time.
I've stopped clapping. It happens every week.
It's almost getting boring, isn't it?
Oh, wow. I mean, it actually didn't surprise me. As weird as that sounds now, when he marked it in that pocket, it might have been a free kick. It didn't surprise me at all that he went back and just slotted it, you know, a 40-metre checkside kick, which most people can't do.
Yeah.
But it just didn't surprise me because he's just doing it so often.
The downside, though, of Indigenous Round was Friday night with the furore over Goods and the war cry. What was your assessment of that and the debate that followed?
I didn't see it as a downside. I thought it created really important discussion over the weekend. I really think we're getting it precious if, you know, people are coming out calling it disgraceful and certain other things. I mean, you know, what Adam's done for the sport and what he's done for his culture. I loved your article that you wrote the other day, Pembo.
Thanks, mate.
And I know him really well, Adam. And I thought it was uncalled for. I loved what he did, the passion that he showed. And there's been, you know, comments around it was too aggressive. Well, you try kicking a goal in front of 30, 40,000 people and not be excited about it.
Yeah, it's huge.
Exactly right. So,
you guys are in a bit of a special position too, because I've got to admit, I reckon I only know one Indigenous bloke well enough to have ever gone out and had a meal with him. I went to school with one Aboriginal guy. But the great thing about AFL is it's the only field of life where Indigenous Australians are overrepresented for the better. I mean, normally it's like the infant mortality rates or literacy rates or imprisonment rates, but Aborigines are like 1.5% of the population in Australia, and they're about, I think, 12% of the AFL list. So you see these guys up close, you know their backstories, you know that there is a unique way that they play the game. So you benefit from that, don't you?
Absolutely. And for someone like Adam, he's such an incredible person, let alone footballer. We know what he's done on the football field. You know, he's played 350-odd games. He's won 2 Brownlow medals. He's been a premiership player twice. He's done incredible things. But I think it's his work in the community that really, you know, shines through with me. And I had certainly no issue with what he did on the weekend. I thought it created some really good discussion, but at the same time, some people I thought went, you know, right over the top. And I come back to my point. It's in front of 50,000 people, and they're accusing him of, you know, being aggressive and getting too excited. Well, have you ever been out in front of 50,000 people, kicked a, you know, a great goal and not wanted to celebrate?
Yeah, I think you know, I loved what he did.
We had some disgusting text, and we won't go there, but we had some disgusting text messages yesterday.
Yeah.
They were just vile, weren't they?
I don't think they represent the majority of
no,
people.
They don't.
But
no.
There is an element there.
I don't think people... I think a lot of people just don't understand, though. So until you understand it, then, you know... Don't comment.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Hey, some good news in terms of some of the injured players will be coming back. But I think 2 weeks ago I was calling you Dr. Dangerfield, and it looks like your prediction with Rory Sloan was close to the mark.
Yeah, I'm a doctor. doing my master's this week. So,
do you bulk bill?
Yeah. Go on, open me up, I dare you.
We're hopeful there'll be a few that come back this week. We've got our main training session tomorrow morning, so... A lot will be, you know, a lot sort of determines on how they train tomorrow, how they pull up the next day. So probably the call will be made Thursday morning on Sloan, Douglas, Brodie Smith. Those sort of are the three that are most likely to come back.
Yeah, this is what David Noble had to say.
Richard Douglas, Rory Sloan and Brad Crouch. Look, they'll all be back in training this week, so... fingers crossed, they'll all have to complete the full week's training and complete their testing by the end of the week, but we're confident that all three of those guys will be available. Whether or not they all end up coming back into the AFL team, I guess that'll be up for Phil later in the week.
It's good news, though.
It is good news, but there's some good news for Carlton too, isn't there, mate? They've got Judd. He's
a pretty handy player.
Yeah, that's right.
Useful.
Yeah, that's right. The thing about teams that have an extended period of losing it and copping all of the flack and the scrutiny is they do have their enough's enough moment, don't they? And they get up. So it's not a done deal, is it?
No, certainly not. You know, we're certainly not approaching this game like we won it already. You cannot afford to do that with elite sport. And they've got some incredibly good players in their side, and they've played some good footy in patches throughout the year. So... we're under no illusions that we need to prepare as best as we possibly can. We need to bring the same mentality that we brought to the game against Fremantle. And if we do that, then I think it'll be a really good competition. I think we play some really good footy. So we're certainly not underestimating Carlton this weekend.
Is there any feeling between the Crows and Carlton with Eddie? I saw it was a
they
great...
They might be a bit jealous.
I think so,
yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Someone wrote on Twitter after he kicked that goal on Saturday night, every time Eddie Betts kicks a goal, a Carlton supporter's heart breaks. They seem to be more sad than angry about it, don't they?
Yeah, well, you know, he's the best small forward in the competition. He's electric when he gets the ball. I think...
he's magical. I just think his skills are incredible. I love watching him.
Yeah, well, you're not the only one. I think football people in general love watching Eddie Betts. I don't think it's just the Crows fans that love it, because he's able to do things that others don't. When the ball is in, you know, his area, you can feel the crowd really lift and just the anticipation of, you know, what may happen, what could happen. And at the moment, it does happen.
Yeah.
You know, he's kicking torpedoes on his left foot from 50 on the boundary.
And it's always fantastic for the 5AA commentary team.
Got it over to Bed, jammed it on the left foot, and there is Cameron.
Oh, no!
Can you believe that? Because then he couldn't believe it. He kicks his second and that crowd's going crazy.
Stand up and go butcher at right, and they are.
I'm just going to describe it, Rowan. He received the handball. He's up against the boundary line on the 50-metre line where the 50-metre line intersects with the boundary. He's on his wrong side, which is his left side. He did a left-foot torpedo and it bounced over the dot in the middle of the goal.
Sensational stuff. Hey, there was one really bizarre and funny moment. Who was it? You kicked the ball straight into the back of somebody's head and then marked it and played on.
I wanted to stat up. so I thought, I might just kick this in the back of Dave McKay's head and then get another kick. just on that, Rowie was very excited listening to that. Yet yesterday afternoon, I heard him say that Eddie he gets a bit too excited when he kicks goals.
Hmm.
Well, maybe Stephen calling the game is getting a little bit too excited.
Oh, I can see that, mate. I agree with that.
They'll be playing this tonight in their show.
Post-goal celebrations by commentators are going to be the new thing. Hey, just quickly, Jane was talking before about Ollie Wines copping some flack for saying we're a bit girly in the first quarter. We're getting a little bit too PC.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Ollie just played half a game. He's been running his guts out. He's run probably, 8 kilometres. And, I just think we're getting incredibly pressured. I'm not sure how you felt.
I just reset what happened. Yeah, this is when they came off at half time.
Exactly. And then the commentators were asking Ollie about the first half and how they were playing. And Ollie, it was an off-the-cuff remark. We played a bit girly in that first quarter. I just think we're getting incredibly precious if all of a sudden there's an uproar about that. It's half time. He's walking off the ground and he's exhausted.
Yeah. I'm a girl. I don't take offence at that. I mean, he's just sort of, it's just an expression.
Mm.
Yeah, I think we're getting very precious.
Yeah, absolutely. Paddy Dangerfield, always great having you in here, mate, and all the very best of luck for the big clash on Saturday afternoon at the MCG. Good to see you at the MCG.
I know. I think it's our only time this season. So
David's going.
I'm going to go over with the kids.
Yeah. Hopefully you'll bring us good luck then.
Mate, fingers crossed.
Thanks, Paddy.
Thanks, guys.
Good stuff. Always good to see you. 8:18, Paddy, brought to you by Balfour's Bakery. Available at your local deli or supermarket. Balfour's, baking people happy since 1853.